Our reading today is a very short reading, taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, if you want to look it up towards the back of the Bible. Phil will be explaining a slightly new series that we'll be doing from time to time over this next month or so. So 1 Peter 1, and I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2, and what a lot they've got in them. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. So, this morning we're looking at our front lines, the places where we find ourselves whenever we're not at church, really, or when we find ourselves between Monday and Saturday. Now, if you tell people that you go to church, I wonder what pops into their head, as our little cartoon is describing here. I often have a slightly different conversation in that, yeah, I'll be getting my hair cut and the barber will say, are you at work today? And I'll say, oh, well, sort of. And they'll say, what do you mean? I'll say, oh, well, I'm a vicar. And then we have this whole conversation. And every time I used to get, oh, you look too young to be a vicar. That's not happening so much anymore, I've noticed. Sometimes I get it. And I'm usually waiting for it. And then when it doesn't happen, I'm thinking, oh. This job, obviously, is making me look older than I feel. So when you have those conversations, I wonder not what people respond. They probably respond, oh, right. You know, maybe they don't say very much, but I wonder what's going on in their head. I wonder if people think, oh, they're a religious person. You know, they're one of them. And they've got this whole set of assumptions and prejudice and preconceived ideas that means if you're someone who goes to church, then you must be this kind of person. And it's a bit of a mystery of what that is. You wouldn't know unless you could see inside their thoughts. Or maybe they think, well, this person belongs to that tribe, you know, that group of people. That's where they have their belonging, you know, like someone would join a golf club. They've joined the church and, you know, their friends are there and that's their little tribe and their little group. Now, there may be some truth in these thoughts, but the New Testament tells us that being part of the church is about something much more than simply being one of them or belonging to a certain group. Our short reading this morning is from the start of Peter's first letter to a small group of Christians that are scattered across ancient Turkey. And he wants them to understand what it means to be the church. So he's teaching us about what it means to be this group of people, not this building, but this group of people we call the church. And in doing this, he uses two key words, the word elect and the word exiles. So the first word, elect, when we hear that word, we might automatically jump to the word elections, because that's where we use the word elect mostly in our modern vocabulary. But Peter is using it to refer to being chosen by God, and particularly, in a particular way, to be chosen by God to be a blessing to others. Chosen by God to be a blessing to others. And this understanding of being both chosen by God and being a blessing to others goes back to the story of Abraham in the book of Genesis, right at the beginning of the Old Testament. Abraham and his descendants are blessed in order to be a blessing. God loves them, and they are to share that love with others. Now, at the time when Abraham was given this message, and that group of people, that family that became a tribe, at that time, tribes, the chief aim of the tribe was to look after itself, because you were in survival mode all the time. So you needed to make sure that your tribe was safe. And if there was another tribe, you'd probably try and attack them so that you could get their goods, or to make sure they didn't attack you, or to make sure they didn't take your land. So you were always on the defensive, and you're always trying to look after your tribe. That's what mattered, the people who were in your group. But God starts this whole new way of understanding what it means to be God's people, to be this particular tribe. It's a very different way of being a tribe, where you don't just look after yourself, you're not just blessed yourself, but you're there so that other people outside the tribe and in other tribes are blessed by you being a group of people. And this was completely new. And it took them a long time to understand what it means. In fact, we're still working it out. This diagram here, if you look at the picture on your left, You'll see some red dots in the corner. And this diagram illustrates that 6% of people in the UK attend church. It's somewhere between 4 and 6% of people attend church. And I think attending church means attending at least monthly. So it's not just people who attend at Christmas and Easter. And it seems like a small number, doesn't it? When you look at that, those six little dots up there in the corner, it doesn't seem very significant. And that influence may seem very small. And that illustrates us gathering together. So like we're doing right now on a Sunday morning, that little percentage of people gathering together in this room, in this building. And when we gather, we're here to remind ourselves of certain things that we believe and that hold us together, despite our differences and, you know, as part of our differences. And those things could be said in this way. So firstly, we're reminded that God has created a beautiful world, and he's created us. That's part of our worldview. Secondly, that there is brokenness within the world. We know that, don't we? We see it on the news. But also that there's brokenness within us. And we see that too, don't we, if we're honest? We know that there's brokenness in the world and brokenness within us. Thirdly, that new life and forgiveness is possible because of Christ. That's part of our understanding. That yes, it's a beautiful world, it's a messy world. We're beautiful people, we're messy people. But through Jesus, there is forgiveness and there is hope and there is new life. And then finally, that one day, all things will be transformed and made new because of Jesus' death and his resurrection. All things will be made new. So we have that hope. The second word that Peter uses in this short passage is exiles. Or in our translation this morning, it talked about being scattered. In the Old Testament, God's people lost their land when they were overthrown and exiled. They were taken from their homeland and forced to live in another place, in a foreign place. And this was about the worst kind of thing that could happen to a tribe. It was humiliating. So this was a great defeat. And yet the prophets at the time declared that they could still be a blessing in this new land. That for most tribes it would mean, oh, that's it, it's over. All our dignity, all our hope as being the strongest tribe and the best tribe is over. But the prophet said, no, you can still be blessed and still be a blessing, even though you are scattered, even though you're not in your homeland, and you sometimes you may not feel like you belong. God will still bless them, even in this difficult time, and use them in this new context. He would bless them, and he would continue to bless them and bless others. We spend most of our time scattered rather than gathered. So we're here this morning for about an hour or so, but actually for the rest of the week, we'll be in all different kinds of places. We gather on a Sunday, and maybe during the week we gather in our house groups and in other particular ministries, but mostly we are not with fellow Christians, just like the dots on the other side. Those red dots are scattered throughout the general population. And these places that we find ourselves in during the week is where God has called us to be. It's right where God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to just stay huddled in here. He wants us to be out there in the world. And it's in these scattered places where we're called to live out our faith. God has a purpose for us in our scattered context. And it's important that we don't just become another grey blob, but that we keep our distinctiveness. I always find it a bit funny to be the one talking about Monday to Saturday context, because a big chunk of my Monday to Saturday is spent here. My son Ted, who's five, his reception class came down to church just before Christmas to do the Advent Star Trail. So his class came in and they did the whole journey round, and then they had juice and biscuits before they walked back up to school, and they all had a fantastic time. And as they were leaving, one of Ted's little friends looked at the wall and saw a picture of me and said, oh, Ted, look, it's your daddy. He must live here. And so we had to explain that, no, I don't live here. But that is often what kids think. So, oh, you live in the church, do you? They must think I've got a sleeping bag around the back or something. So I'm not here all the time, but I do spend quite a lot of time here. I'm also out visiting people in their homes or in hospitals. I visit the nursing homes and the schools. I'm out and about in the community. But I was thinking about the times when I've had a proper job, or a more normal job, I should say. Well, I've done several things. I've been a paper delivery boy, and it was on a Sunday. I think I had a thing for working on just on Sunday mornings. I thought, that sounds like a really good idea. But it's not a good idea, I tell you. If you've got the Sunday morning paper round, you get all the big supplements. You know, the Observer was the worst. It's got like 7 magazines in it, and then people have these tiny little letterboxes and you're scrumming it through and the dog's trying to attack you. It was a nightmare. Eventually, I sort of got fired from that job. The lovely lady at the newsagent just had a quiet word with my dad and said, I think Philip's been putting some of the papers through the wrong doors. I think he's a bit of a daydreamer. And I just quietly stepped away from that job. I used to work at a small garden centre. I wasn't very good at that either. I was a waiter in a pub. I've also been a cleaner and a porter and, done various other little jobs. And God had the potential to use me in all of those contexts for his purposes. It's not that now I'm a vicar, now I can work for God. God can use us wherever we are, whatever we're doing. He could use me on my paper round, when I was in the pub, when I was cleaning. God has always been with me. But actually, sometimes I have to admit that I haven't been very aware of that. Maybe because I'm a daydreamer, I've been thinking about something else. I haven't been very present in that job and thinking, what does God want me to do with me here? And it's not just in my place of work where God is with me. God is with me as a parent, as a husband, as a friend, a son, a brother, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. God is always with us. It's just that sometimes we forget that. When we have these frontline Sundays, and this is the first one, and we're going to be doing various throughout the year, everyone gets to take home a free gift. And this is your free gift today that you get to take home, and it's a coaster. Everyone gets to take home a coaster, and you might think, well, what's the point of that? You know, I can put a beer mat, what's the point of that? But the point of it is that it's got these little red dots on it. It's to remind us, wherever you put this coaster, whether it's at work or at home or, you know, somebody you spend a lot of time with, you can put this coaster down, and every time you put your cup of tea down or your pint of beer or whatever your tipple is, you can remember that God has called you to that place. So everyone's going to take one of these. It's going to be a little reminder with these little red dots scattered. You won't be able to see it from there, but they're there in our places where we find ourselves. Peter finishes his opening greeting with a reminder of the wondrous work of the Trinity in our lives. He says, "You have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ." It's one sentence, but it's so thick with theology, with our understanding of who God is and what the Trinity is. The first part says, "You have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father." Our situations are known by God, his foreknowledge, his foreknowing. He knows the places where we live, where we live out our lives. He's known that we would end up there. He knows where we will be. He cares about the people and the places we live and the people we work with. Secondly, it says, I've gone backwards and I shouldn't have done. Is it going to start playing a video? No. We're going to watch a video in a minute, but not just yet. Secondly, he says, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. That's it. To sanctify means to set apart. The Holy Spirit has set us apart for the situations we find ourselves in. And all that is in the context of being obedient to Jesus, aligning ourselves with Christ and his purposes in the world. That's what keeps us distinctive, a red dot rather than just another grey dot. And Peter rejoices with his readers in all that God has done for us. And he reminds them, and us, that we live out the implications of the gospel in our scattered places. We are elect, we are chosen by God, but we're also exiles, we're living out in the world. In future Frontline Sundays, we will go on to explore the implications of this for us wherever we are, whatever we do, and whoever we are. And this passage finishes by looking at what it means to be a disciple, making community together for the sake of this world. We are red dots. When we gather, we strengthen one another as a distinct people. And we are red dots when we scatter to many places, within many different people, people who can make all the difference in the world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this reminder that you are always with us wherever we find ourselves. And as we pray now, we hold before you the places where we will be in the coming week, the people we will be with. Help us, Lord, to be distinctive, to become more aware of your presence with us, the truth that we are loved, that we are chosen, that you go with us into these places. We pray particularly for those of us facing difficult challenges, that we know your presence and your peace in those difficulties. We'd know that you are with us, that you are for us, that you love us and you love this world in all its beauty, in all its mess. Help us to go carrying your presence and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.